Welcome back, everybody, to the Rule Your Pool podcast. I'm your host, Eric Knight, doing this one alone once again. This is episode 42, and the reason I'm doing so many of these alone is just simple inability to schedule things. Not the best at planning ahead, and I always ask too late, and I don't give Jared or Joe enough notice, and we travel and all that, so I apologize for doing so many of these alone. You're probably getting tired of hearing my rantings, but I feel like, you know, we got to get these episodes out, and I'd rather not wait in order to talk about things and respond to questions that we get at Arenda. So today's episode, you know, I thought about expanding on the last episode, 41, about the concrete pool issues that we see, you know, weepers, efflorescence, calcium nodules. In particular, I thought a lot about expanding on calcium nodules because that is quite a controversial issue. And I'm not going to do that right now because I'm thinking about actually having a guest on to talk about that, who knows a lot more than I do. So that may be in the future, but for now, I want to talk about another thing that we get a surprising amount of questions about. We take these things for granted in the industry. There's a lot of buzzwords in any industry. And one of those buzzwords in the pool business is parts per million, or PPM. Okay, with phosphates, it's parts per billion, PPB. And so this episode, I'm going to explain them. It's going to be a short episode because it's a very simple concept. So, episode 42, what does parts per million mean?
Welcome to Rule Your Pool, the podcast by Arenda that explains and simplifies pool chemistry so that anybody, regardless of experience, can understand it. I'm your host, Eric Knight, bringing clarity to these subjects so that you can bring clarity to your water. If you're ready to rule your pool, then let's go.
If you've been treating pools for any amount of time, you've no doubt seen the acronym PPM, which does stand for parts per million. And it's just a standard unit of measurement in water chemistry that tells us the density of a given substance dissolved in water. A good example would be free chlorine, or calcium hardness, or total alkalinity. Notice I didn't say pH, because pH is not measured in parts per million. pH is its own equilibrium. So one part per million, we had to actually go back and figure out who figured this out, right? I mean, like, who counted up to a million and divided it? It actually comes from the metric system. And while it seems like one millionth of the amount of water in the pool, which is exactly what it means, it seems like that's such a really small amount. But in the case of chlorine, one part per million is a pretty good amount of free chlorine. Now, you want to make sure it's free chlorine and not just combined chlorine. But the point is, you don't necessarily need a lot of chlorine. Whereas you compare that 1 to 4 part per million of free chlorine, which is what's recommended in most, you know, commercial books, 1 to 4 parts per million compared to like calcium hardness, where we're recommending over 300 parts per million. So you have a lot more calcium hardness dissolved than you do chlorine. And chlorine gets used up. And you also have total alkalinity. You also have total dissolved solids, cyanuric acid, all sorts of other stuff. But back to the metric system. The way this was figured out is it actually came from multiplying 1,000 by 1,000. So the official, notice I did air quotes, but I'm not filming this, but the official measurement is actually called milligrams per liter. Yeah, that's right, milligrams per liter. 1 milligram is 1 millionth of a liter. Now, the rest of the world already knows this because the metric system is standard, but we in America don't use the metric system very often. So let's convert that. If you take 1 cubic meter of water, okay, cubic meter of water, you got this cube and you fill it with water, there's exactly 1,000 liters in that cubic meter. Okay, inside each liter, if you take the volume of 1 liter in a small little cube, you have exactly 1,000 milliliters. Okay, so 1,000 milliliters equals 1 liter. Then you have to transform from liquids to solids because we're actually talking about dissolved substances in water. So calcium hardness, calcium is actually a solid until it gets dissolved. So what is 1,000th of a milliliter? Yeah, what is 1,000th of a milliliter? Well, that would be 1 milligram. Okay, so 1 gram is roughly equivalent to 1 milliliter, but 1 milligram is 1/1000th of a milliliter. Yeah, I know it gets confusing, but if you basically take 1 milligram, it is 1/1000th of a liter. Okay, so we had to make it American, right? We got to put it in the imperial system, so we just say part per million. 1 part of something per million of something else. In this case, we mean 1 part of whatever your chemistry is to 1 million parts of H2O, water. That's it. That is parts per million. And it is, you might be thinking, Eric, we know this. This is stupid. Why are you devoting an entire episode to it? Because people actually ask, and it's not a stupid question. It's an acronym. It's a buzzword. We take it for granted. And I feel like it is worth explaining. Yes, this parts per million is a standard unit of measurement that we have to understand. It is 1/1000th of the volume of water. Okay. Now, again, this is about the concentration or the density of a substance in water. It is not necessarily the amount total that you put in. It's not like pounds. If you put a 50-pound bag of calcium chloride in, that does not mean your pool has 50 parts per million. And this is where the density matters, because if you have a backyard pool, say 20,000 gallons or so, you're going to have way more than 50 parts per million from that 50-pound bag of calcium chloride. And that's 50 parts per million of calcium hardness, by the way. But if you have a huge pool, like 250,000 gallons or bigger, even like 2 million gallons, like an Olympic-sized pool, that 50-pound bag is not even going to get to 50 parts per million. Okay, I've done startups where I needed 400-some pounds of calcium chloride just to raise it up 150 parts per million. So it's all about the ratio of the water compared to the substance you're putting in it. So you got to do the math. You got to actually test it with a test kit, and that's what actually shows up. So I want to go over some brief representations of chemistry targets. And in fact, I'm currently working on putting together some recommended range targets. I know, Arenda, we don't do range chemistry. Well, you're right, we don't. We focus on the LSI. But we're going to put together a temperature-driven potential ranges that you can target at a given temperature. So no matter where you are, whether you're in Michigan or if you're in Miami, temperatures are way different, but we are going to have some recommended ranges that you should somewhat stick between, but that's under the condition that you are following the LSI. So here's the textbook versions. These are not our numbers. These are the textbook numbers. And of course, you might be thinking there's a lot of different textbooks. You're right. We just kind of averaged them out. Total alkalinity, the industry standard recommended parts per million is 80 to 120. As we've talked in other episodes, Arenda doesn't necessarily agree with that, especially not with salt pools in the summertime. We want you a little below 80 so that you reduce your pH ceiling. But nevertheless, the book says 80 to 120. Now, calcium hardness. Textbooks usually say 200 to 400 parts per million. We like it on the higher side at Arenda. Cyanuric acid, most books say 30 to 100. Arenda says 30 to 50. For many different reasons, check out Pillar 4. Go back in this podcast and listen to the earlier episodes where we explain why you don't want to go too high on cyanuric acid. A lot of different reasons for that. Total dissolved solids. Now this one, we had another episode on it, and you know, I kind of have to laugh. Like, I don't even know why we have a standard for this, because conductivity doesn't necessarily go down. It just depends on what is in your total dissolved solids, because this is a measurement of everything dissolved in your water. And most books say 1,500 parts per million over your tap is your limit. So if your tap water is 200 parts per million, you can have up to 1,700, and then it's problematic, I guess. I mean, I don't know why you even put a range there, because if you have a salt pool, you're starting at 3,200 parts per million in just salinity, and then you have all your other stuff. So clearly, it's not about conductivity. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but that being said, if you have a ton of cyanuric acid in that number, or you have an imbalance of calcium hardness and alkalinity, it does make sense, but it's not because it's total dissolved solids. But I'm going to step off of my soapbox, and I'm going down a rabbit hole, and I don't want to. Sorry. Salt, as I said, usually 3,000 or 3,200 to 3,600. Free chlorine, 1 to 4 is pretty standard. Total chlorine should be exactly the same, 1 to 4. You do not want combined chlorine, and most health codes will say, again, that depends on where you live, you want the difference between your total chlorine and your free chlorine, which is called combined chlorine, you want that less than 0.2. So you want those numbers very, very close. And then for phosphates, this is where it gets fun. The textbooks say under 1,500 parts per billion, not parts per million, PPB, parts per billion. We say you want to be under 500 parts per billion because that's the most authoritative research that we have found. What we have read said 500. We tend to agree. Some people, you know, phosphate remover manufacturers, not us, but others, will say, oh, you got to have zero, or you got to have under 150 or some arbitrary number. You know what? Everybody's got an opinion. The research that we've seen says 500. But the point is, that's parts per billion. That is 1,000th of a parts per million, which means, as you can imagine, that's a very small number. If you have 500 parts per billion of phosphates, that's pretty low. Now, the thing is, it doesn't take a lot to cause a problem. So if they do get over 500, you typically want to reduce those and get them out. But that's a different conversation. So it's an easy conversion. It's just a multiple of 1,000 to get from ppm to ppb. Just make sure you're looking at the letter correctly. It should be a ppb. Now, there is a test kit out there, I've seen it, that measures phosphates in parts per million, and it makes every pool, usually, look very low in phosphates. Well, duh, because it's showing parts per million, not parts per billion. If it's showing dark on a parts per million test, oh God, that's a lot of phosphates. So just keep that in mind. In conclusion, this is a very short episode. Parts per million is literally just a measurement of the dissolved substance in water, 1/1,000th of the volume of the pool water. And this is what's cool. It doesn't matter how big your pool is. It doesn't matter. It's always a ratio. It's just the density. That parts per million is going to be the exact same, you know, I guess the targets, I should say, the exact same whether your pool is 20,000 gallons in your backyard or 200,000 gallons in your neighborhood pool or 2 million gallons at the University Aquatic Center. Okay, so it's always about the density of that at a given volume. And this number will go down if you dilute it. If you take all that water and you just add a whole bunch more and you make the pool a lot bigger, the number will get reduced. We talk about dilution in some other episodes and plenty of our blogs. So if you have any questions, I know this is a very basic level, but again, there are no dumb questions. I'm glad somebody asked this. In fact, more than one person asked this. I'm glad we can cover this. If you have more questions kind of like this or any buzzwords in the industry that you don't understand, email us, info@orendatech.com. Reach out to us on Facebook, Orenda Technologies. We're not hard to find. You can contact us directly through the Orenda app, and we would love to at least answer the question and maybe even do another episode on it. So anyway, this has been episode 42 of the Rule Your Pool podcast. I'm Eric Knight. Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Rule Your Pool, a podcast by Orenda Technologies. For more information on what we discussed in this week's episode, check the links in the description or visit www.orendatech.com.
I hope you find this show valuable enough that you tap that subscribe button and share it with your friends. You can also like us on Facebook and social media. And with our help, you'll be able to rule your pool without overtreating it with chemicals and wasting money. I'll see you next episode.